good? He is good all the time. And all the time He is good. I thank God for what He's doing. I know that the devil is a liar. Do you know it this morning? See, the devil would like to come to the children of God and tell them every lie that he has. But at the end of the day, that's all it is. It's a lie. And that's what the devil's got. He's got lies. Now, I'm going to encourage each and every one of you to begin to know the truth of God. God says that you walk in absolute victory in Jesus' name. He says that, hey, I've given you dominion, so walk with the authority that I've given you because I gave it to you from the very first day. Now, walk in it. Walk in victory that He has for you, and you're going to have a happy life. You're going to be fulfilled. Now, I'm not telling you that trials and tribulation won't come, because it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. But, angel, that does not take anything away from what God has promised. God is not somebody that He's going to lie to you. What He told you He would do, He will surely do. Now, I feel the need to tell you alongside of that little statement, God is not a McDonald's worker. And He don't work at Burger King either, so you ain't getting this gig your way. Okay? Now, if you're anything like me, when I start thinking about going to McDonald's, I start getting anxiety because I'm worried about having to wait. Look here. Some of the things that we've gotten ourselves into, we didn't get into them overnight, and God ain't going to deliver them from you overnight. Amen? But He will deliver. And He will not be late when He does it. Let's all go to Acts chapter 28. We are going to begin at verse 1. I am not a pastor that's going to tell you that you don't need to bring the Word of God. I'm going to tell you that you need to bring your Bible. Why? Because I am not Jesus Christ. I got two amens, I'll take it. I said, I'm not Jesus Christ. What does that mean for all of y'all? Well, it means that I'm exactly like you. I'm a sheep too. And what does that mean? Well, that doesn't mean that Miss Kelly doesn't have trouble fighting off sin. I know that's hard to believe. Brother Larry's like, no, it ain't. But look here. Bring the Bible, because when I'm reading, the Bible's going to start reading you. The Bible's going to start coming alive to you. That's why the devil works so hard to get you to not read your Bible throughout the week. He don't want you to know the promises of God, because if you ever figure it out, he's in deep trouble. Now, I'm going to be ministering today on a subject that is so prevalent, it's in the church and it's in the world. I'm talking about being judgmental. I want to set the record straight that the children of God have no place sitting in the seat as a judge. I'm going to go take it a step further. And if somebody you don't like, for whatever silly reason up in your head, comes walking through either one of those doors back there, I'm going to tell you as your pastor to get over yourself. I'm going to take it one step further. And I'm going to say, you know what? Stop judging. Amen. Stop it. Yes. Stop that judgmental conversation that you like to have about folks. Yes. Stop the judgmental thinking. Because let me tell you something. I used to think that was only hurting the other person that was being judged. It's not. It's hurting the Christian. It's hurting you. It's holding things up in your life because you've put yourself up in the place of being a judge. You ain't even qualified to judge somebody. You got it? Amen. See, God has not called you to be a judge. God ain't called you to think badly about somebody else just because they've made worse decisions than you. Because look here, look back in your life, and you probably made some awful decisions too. We all have. Why? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've done it. Y'all have done it. I'll do it again, and you'll do it again. We all on the same page on that. People having a judgmental problem has been an issue from the very beginning of time. People be judging and people be gossiping. That's what people do. And let me tell you something. If you get 1.5 women together, that's all that's necessary. I don't know why you men's laughing because you ain't any better. Your lingo's just a little bit different. But look here, whether it's a hen party or whatever, hen party or rooster party, that's just what goes on. Donnie's laughing. And guess what, Donnie? It ain't profitable for us. Amen. Let's read about how people were judgmental back in the day, because you know what? There's nothing new under the sun. Don't try to kid yourself. You ain't going through something that somebody else hadn't gone through before. God's wanting you to work through the issue with His help, and He's wanting you to reach out and help somebody else. That's why it's so important that you get through this trial, because your trial is not only just about you. It never is. Now I'm going to set the stage here. We've got Paul, and Paul is out, and he's on a ship with a bunch of men. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, look, this ship is fixing to wreck. Wouldn't that be nice before a big trial, Stacy, if God said, now look here up. There's a big trial coming. I just want you to know, there's a big trial. But don't be afraid. See, when big trials come, angel, God's right there. He's saying, don't be afraid. Yes, there's a trial. But I've given you victory every single time you've allowed me to. See, God has victory every time. Now, you may tie His hands and you may get yourself some more added misery to your life. But that is not God's plan for you. God is not a child abuser. So the angel of the Lord came to Paul and he said, now look, this ship is wrecking, but don't be afraid. God is preserving, Paul, not only your life, but every life of every person that's on this boat. Look here. When the trials get hard and you see them coming, what you need to do is you need to start praying, God, preserve every life in the trial. What does the devil do in the middle of some trials? That's when the devil likes to come in and snatch people out of this life before their time. That's what he does. That's why we've got to be sober and vigilant, because we have to see what the devil is trying to do. The devil likes to get people off. And he likes to take their life. What part of it? The whole thing, but whatever he can get his hands on. He likes to steal, he likes to kill, and he likes to destroy. When your ship of your life starts getting in a wreck, start praying, God, preserve every life. Preserve every life, God. Because, see, the devil is up in the middle of the shipwreck. But let me tell you something. God was already there before the devil ever got up in the middle of that ship. God was already there. He was already there saying, don't be afraid. I'm preserving your life. I'm protecting your life. See, we do this thing when we get in the middle of a trial, Keisha, and this is what we do. We get in the middle of something that's so much bigger than us, and we try to save our life. We get in a panic, and we try to save our life. Now, what does God's Word say happens when we try to save our own life? We lose it. See, the devil will work through torment and getting y'all worked up thinking you got to do it. You got to be the one getting it all. See, no, God's just saying now, you just need to just hold tight. I got this. But don't go trying to save your own life because you're not that big. You don't have the power to do that. If you did, you wouldn't need a savior. There are certain things we cannot do, and it's just best if we recognize that we can't and that we should not even try to do that. God's God on your worst day. God is God in your worst valley. You don't think God's got the ability to set it straight in a moment? He does. The problem is we got all our moments wrapped up in worrying and fretting over some things. And being a judgmental person, might I add. Oh, do I love a good binge of being judgmental? Yes, I do. There's something about that. It's almost fun. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. If I start lying, you don't need me. You need somebody going to stand up here and give you truth. Amen. So it says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta, and the islanders showed us unusual kindness. See, God can send people up in the middle of a trial, Aunt Patty, to send some unusual kindness. Well, any type of kindness to me is unusual in this day and age, because very few people just have the ability to just be kind. You know? But it said that he sent unusual kindness. And they built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. And Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, see, here's Paul and it's cold, his ship done wrecked. And here's these people and they're being nice to him, so he's trying to help out. He's getting some brush for the fire. He's got all these people looking around. Look here, in the middle of your trial, you're going to have a lot of observers. Hallelujah. You get up in the middle of the trial, you're going to have an audience. Amen. You know why, Julie? Because people like a good show. They just do, Brother Claudie. People are nosy, and people want to know how you're going to handle what you got going on. Amen. That's just how it is. And don't kid yourself, you like it and I'm like it and we just are like that. You got a big audience when you're going through something, you got a big audience of people and they're just looking at you, see what you're going to do to handle it. How you handle it. If you fold when you're handling it, if you just break down, see? And guess what? The devil's right up in the middle of that on the first row eating some popcorn. Yeah. Oh, there they go. Oh, I did my job. No, devil. And so Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they began to talk. See, when you can be going along in your life and everything's fine and dandy, and then something bad happens to you, and then everybody starts talking about you. Huh. There is nothing new under the sun. Does anybody go through that today? I mean, here you are going on in your own life, and then you're perfectly fine 1 minute, and then your shipwrecks, your life gets up in a tussle, and something comes up and bites you, and everybody around starts talking about you. See, that still happens today. And the moment that they saw that snake bite him, they changed their tune and they turned on him immediately. See, that's what happens. People like to turn on folks the moment it looks like they're having a bad time.
Amen. That's the truth.
That's life.
That's reality. Yes.
Reality. Amen. And it says, when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man, they started to talk to themselves. This man, this dude over here, oh my God, we thought he was okay. But no, he in fact is not. He is a murderer. And just because he escaped from the sea, God has not allowed him to live. You go through something, people start smack talking. That's what it's called, smack. They just start talking about you. Oh, Brother Sam's going through that because last week at the Dairy Delight, he said something snippy to Brother Tom and Brother John, and that's why that's happening to him. See, people start being the judge, and not only people, but you and me. We start doing that. How many times has something happened to somebody, Brother Larry, and I go, oh, that happened to her because she's just an awful person. I mean, it's no mystery to me. That happened because she's terrible. God forbid something just happened because it happened, a normal thing. Yeah, there was a bunch of heat, and the snake don't like to be in the heat, and it just crawled out and got a hold of the guy. Let's be real, okay? You can't take natural elements out of this world. Stuff just happens. If you run over a nail, you're going to get a flat. That doesn't necessarily mean you did something wrong. That can mean a lot of things. It can mean God's going to slow you down 30 minutes up here because there's a fatal accident down here. See? Or you know what, Patty? It could just be a flat. You just need to watch where you're going. We are overthinking things too much, and we are being judgmental way too much, okay? And it's comical. You know why it's so comical to us? Because we do it. Because we do this stuff. I mean, it's terrible, but I do it. I'm like, that happened to them. Look at the things they've done. And then when I get up in the middle of a trial, here's my paranoia. I'm like, oh, what are they going to say why this has happened to me? Oh, what do they know about that all I've done? Which thing will it be that they say? So I can start defending myself ahead of time. We do this stuff. This is real life, what I'm talking about here. This is real. This is back in the Bible days, and it still goes on today. The moment something bad happens to you, everybody around, oh, that just happened to them because they're awful. God's just giving them what they deserve. Look here, I'm going to set this record straight right here and now. God does not give His children what they always deserve because a lot of times what we deserve is so unbearable. If He let it happen to us, we'd probably never get up again. He spares us so much because He loves us. But judgmentalness, and judging your brother and sister, judging the sinner has no place in your life.
Amen.
So it says, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul, what did Paul do? He just shook that snake off into the fire and suffered no illness. And then, people are so wishy-washy. They'll go from one extreme to the polar opposite end. Now let's see what they do. So he shook that thing off, and then the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their mind. They changed their mind, what they thought about him. So first he's a murderer, and he's a terrible person, and he needs justice. Because we all think that we're on the biggest episode of Judge Judy, and we want everybody to get justice except for us. Because we're the exception. we think we are. I mean, we'll go pull shenanigans that the God says clearly do not do. And then when we do them, we're like, well, now Sally Sue can't do that, but I can because whatever type of thing we could ever come up with that we think God will accept us doing it. Why am I preaching this way? Because this is how we do. Can we just all agree? We do this stuff. We justify and we come up with some stuff. And I'm trying to get us not to do that because, man, God has got some awesome things for us and there's just no place in our life for this stuff. We've outgrown it. And so it says here, they changed their minds and said he was a god. So we go from being a murderer and a horrible person. Oh, my word. This man here, he is a god. See, we do this. We do this to people. And we do it to ourselves. We'll see somebody go through something and they're hurting. They are going through the trial of their faith. And instead of just loving them and accepting, okay. See, sometimes we think that our love and our acceptance has to be bought by that person. No, that should be free. Okay? You don't got to know everything about what's going on with your brother or sister in the Lord. You just need to be there for them. If you think they're going through something because of some sin that they've done, you need to stop thinking that. And you need to realize God has never issued you the right to be a judge. You need to step back and just say, God, I don't want to know why they're going through this. I don't care to know. But God, help them. God, show mercy on them. God, save them from what they're going through. God, I'm asking you to move in their life. God, show them who you are. God, welcome them into you close. God, your word says that you would hold them up close to your heart. God, I'm asking you to get that person and draw them close to you. See, this is the prayer of a righteous man that God said, the prayers of a righteous man, they avail as much. They hold up. See, we're praying these prayers that are selfish. Oh, God, kill that person, but let me get away with this stuff because I've done so much better. No, God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. And God, I'm sorry for walking in judgment against everybody else instead of myself. God, help me. We are not judging. And I will stand up and tell you, I'm the worst one. The worst one. That's why I'm not surprised I'm the one delivering this message. Because see, what I preach on is out of the overflow of what God is working with me on almost 10 times out of 10. You can't preach about what you don't know. What good would that do anybody? Nothing. I'm going to preach about stuff I know about. I know about being judgmental. Shoot. I got that down. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5. And it says here, now I've told you not to be judgmental of folks. I'm not the type of pastor that's going to say don't do something. Because Brother Paul, I understand humanity because I understand myself a lot. If somebody tells me not to do something, I'm probably going to do it just because they told me not to. Truth. I've told you not to be judgmental, and now I'm going to explain to you why. Why is it important to not sit in that seat of being a judge? So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Okay. Don't be judging somebody, because when you do, you are opening the door. Here's the door, and it's open. You open in that door for you to be judged yourself. See, don't judge, because if you do, that door is going to come open for judgment coming up into your home, coming up into your family, coming up into your health, coming up into your finances. Don't judge, because when you do it, you're going to be judged. There's no mistaking. Okay, that's one of the reasons. Do not judge or you too will be judged. Here's reason number two. Okay? For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. You want to judge them harshly? You want to keep on talking the smack? You want to keep on saying they did that because they're an awful person? See, that's coming around. Whatever you say out of your mouth, it's turning around. And see, you meant that for harm for that person. Don't kid yourself. You're hurting that person. But you're turning around and you're inviting every demon that just spewed out of you to come up in your life. What you're saying about folks, it's turning around and it's coming into your life. The Word of God just said it. Okay? For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure, with the same way and the same measure, it's going to be measured to you. So if you give a cup full of judgment, guess what, sweetie pie? You're going to get a cup of judgment coming your way. You give a half of a pound of it here, you're getting a half of a pound of it there. That's why your pastor's up here, and I'm telling you, it's not profitable for you to judge. Because whatever you're saying, it's time around, it's coming to you. You give a cup of it there, you're getting a cup of it over here in your own life. See, I know y'all, what me and y'all don't need is any more judgment. Can we all agree with that? We don't need no more judgment. So it's very important for us to stop dishing it out. Because it is not helping. It's not helping you and it ain't helping nobody. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? See, it's easy for us to see the smallest things wrong with somebody else. And it's so hard to see the national forest in our own selves. We see like a little speck of dust in somebody, a little problem that they're having. And we can identify that. And most of us walk around and we don't even know why we got problems. We got the national forest up in our life. And we looking at Sally Sue going, look at her. Her dress is too short. Shame on her. And we over here partying it up Saturday night. We ain't even wearing a dress. Now look, ain't nobody doing that up in here, but that's just a correlation. I got to give you a little food for thought. Claudie's back there going, I love this girl. I'll tell it like it is, Brother Claudie. But see, that's what we do. We pick out something little that's very visible. And then, man, we got some dirty skeletons in the closet. And we're covering them up. And they're worse than whatever we're saying about Sally Sue. Okay? So let me take out the speck of your eye when all the time there is a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite. See, sometimes you just got to realize you're being a hypocrite. Now, I'm not calling y'all hypocrites. I'm saying when you do this to people, you are being a hypocrite. I'm being a hypocrite. Whoever does it is a hypocrite because we've all got things. We've all fallen way short of the glory of God. Amen. So when we put ourselves in the seat of a judge, it's not good because it makes us a hypocrite. It's going to spoil your witness. We don't try to be hypocrites. We just are by the way that we do our lives. Because, see, we like to act like everything's fine when we know everything is not fine. And then we get up with something even worse than that, which is keeping up appearances. You need to give them appearances up to the good Lord and forget about them. Because there's something way more important than keeping up your silly appearances, and that's keeping up your soul. Who cares what the Joneses are doing? What are you doing? Who cares if their Facebook looks like they're having a great life? You know what? That is fake as it gets. You need to stop that. You stop looking at that trash. Stop saying, I just want to be happy. I'm not happy, so I'm going to go blow my family up. I'm not happy, so I'm going to go do this sin over here. Let me tell you something. Happiness, I don't even believe in that anymore. I believe that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that's it. Stop basing your whole silly life on being happy. Man, people walking away from things because they ain't happy. Get over yourself and get over the word happy because that is a fleeting thing. It's like your looks. You got them things for a little bit, but boy, that's going at some point. I mean, I'm trying to hold on to mine, but by golly, some days I am not so cute. I said we keep it real, we're keeping it real. Okay? Now, let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 37 through 38. And it says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." See, these are things that if you do this, this is what you'll get. If you don't judge, you're not going to be judged. If you don't condemn, you're not going to be condemned. If you forgive, you can be forgiven. Well, flip it around. What happens when you don't forgive? You cannot be forgiven. Now, I know I'm up here saying some hard things, but Julie, it's the truth. When we do this stuff, this is what we're going to get. You can't plant a pumpkin seed and pray to God apples are coming out of that. It's not going to happen. "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." A lot of times people, when they're talking about the tithe, they'll come to this verse. I'm going to take a different spin on this. Look here, Brother Dwayne. If we pour out a lot of grace for people that are going through a hard time, if we just say, "God, I'm not going to be concerned with why they're going through this, but God, I right now see freely you have received. Now freely give." What do, Sonia, when we see one of our brothers and sisters in the Lord going through something? We have them and we say, "God, put them in the palm of your hand. God, keep them in the shadow of your wing. And God, right now, God, as far as it be me, God, I pray right now the grace that only you can give. God, I ask right now, God, that you would pour mercy over them. God, I thank you right now that you're pouring over them the love, God, that only when they feel it, God, it turns that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. A lot of people are going through some things because they've made bad decisions because, Keisha, quite frankly, they could not feel anything. And the devil will get you in these situations where you're in a numb phase of your life. You'll make some bad calls. And then when the moment you can feel, what you're feeling is what you sowed in, what the devil talked you up into, which is a hell on earth. See, the devil gets us going and doing some shenanigans, and then we go do them, and then we can instantly, what happens, Angel? We can feel again, and then all that grief from what we done, all of that being overwhelmed from what we done did, comes up in. See, with the same measure, see, what do you want to happen the next time you have a trial? Do you want God to just say, "You know what?" Or do you want God to love on you? You want Him to love on you. What else do you want? You want your brothers and sisters to not judge you. A lot of times people won't come through church doors because they know they've messed up and they think they're getting judgment the day they walk into the church house. Why do you think I'm preaching about this? There is no judgment that needs to be going on up in this house. What needs to be going on here, and I'm not saying that it is or isn't, but I'm just setting the record straight. The moment somebody up in here that's been a backslidden state, when they come up in here, we don't need to be saying, "Now you done this and this and this." I want you to remember me preaching this. You are not their judge. If you can't sit there and love on them, I'm going to ask you to sit there and shut up. Now that's hardcore. I don't care. I just said it and I'll say it again. If you cannot love on people when they come up in here and everybody knows they messed up, it's on the news or it's on Facebook, which is even more than the news. I mean, you want something known, just put it on Facebook. You do not have to call Channel 5. You just leak it out on Facebook and that's right. It's worse than the telephone telemacalhaney. But if you can't love on that person, I'm going to ask you as your pastor to sit there and shut up. I'm going to take it one step further because, see, I'm a pusher. I'm going to push as much as I can push down your throat. And we're going to get this. We're going to get some things. If your worst enemy comes up in here, I'm going to ask you to get over whatever they did to you. It's going to take somebody in that situation just saying, I'm not going to hold that grudge against you anymore.
Amen.
See, some people are better at wronging a right than others. Somebody comes up in here and they've wronged you and they're coming up into God's house. Let me tell you, what do you think the first step is? I mean, the first step, they did it. You're not wrong. The first step is they came in here. Why did they come? Here we are asking, Brother Mike, God, draw people. Draw them in. And then they come in and we're like, you're wrong. Fly. Swatting that fly. That's what we do. We got to quit swatting that poor person. You are not the one supposed to be giving them a spanking. And if you do spank them, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get one too. We can't be judging folks. Because we open in a can of worms we do not want, which is judgment coming on us. Okay? So, let's go to Romans chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And it says, you, therefore, have no excuse. Everybody mark this down. You ain't got an excuse. I don't care what they done to you. I don't care how juicy what they're doing is. People out there doing some juicy things. And I'm like, this is what I'm doing. Plugging one ear and keeping the other one so I can half hear it. Because I'm like, man, oh man. That is some juicy stuff. About a month into the pastorship, I mean, I'm going up to the bedroom and I'm just covering my head because I have lost the desire to hear about some of this stuff because I'm like, oh my God, Lord, help me. I don't want to hear about it no more. Look here, when that becomes your job and you got to hear some of this stuff constantly, you're thinking, can I just call, like, time out with everybody for a minute? Can we just, like, all behave for, like, a week? Amen? You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for whatever point. See, there's a point. Here's judgment, and it's coming out, and then there's a point. Okay? Now, remember the point. Whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. You're condemning your own self. Condemn. You're condemning it. Because you who pass judgment, because you're condemning someone, you're judging someone, and you're doing the same thing. You may not think that you are. You may be talking about somebody that's in adultery. You may be talking about somebody that's in some type of sin. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Sin doesn't have number 10s. Sin is sin. And you're judging someone that, you know what? They need your prayers more than they need your judgment. Here we are judging them when really what we should be doing is pleading the blood of Jesus over their life because God knows that when people's out sinning, the devil's trying to kill them. Yeah. Amen. And here we are judging them and we're the closest things to Jesus and we're killing them off too. Amen. And we're killing ourselves off because see, at whatever point you're judging, it's coming back to you. Because you who pass judgment, you do the same thing. And now we know that God's judgments against those who do such things is based on truth. See, when God finally judges, He's judging out of truth. When we judge, we're judging just out of an impure heart. Because we feel higher than Jesus, and we're going to be the judge of folks. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and impatience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? Another version of this says, don't you know that the reason God is good to you is because He wants you to turn to Him? If God gave us what we deserve, we would be in a lot of trouble. God is good to us, and we don't deserve it a lot of times. But He's good to us nonetheless, because God wants our hearts to turn to Him. God, you ever gotten off the hook on something and you knew it was a big deal? And however that thing worked out, you just got a whole lot of grace. And you thought, oh, I really deserved something bad out of that, but what I got was God's grace. That ever happened to you? What does it do? Causes you to at least have a thought, God did that. God helped me not to get what I deserved. What I deserved was this, this, and this. But God turned that around, not because I did the right thing, but because God loved me. See, we just read in the Word of God, God's good to you to get you to turn to Him. See, God is the best thing in the whole world, because He'll give a bad person grace when they don't deserve it. And He'll work on that person throughout the whole course of their life to do what? To get them to where they can live eternity in heaven with Him. And here we are thinking, what are they even doing in church? They was just at the bar. They was just here. They was just there. They were just cussing somebody out at Walmart. You know what? They're probably having a bad day. They're just probably having a moment. They may be going through something. We just don't know, have any idea what about it. Why am I preaching this? Because this is a major problem in my own life. How am I able to bring it home and preach it so well? Because it's a problem in my own life. I know this sin. It's sin. When we judge people, that's sin. That's how I'm able to preach about it so well, because I'm a judgmental person. Guess what? God don't like that. He don't like it when the pastor does it. He don't like it when y'all do it. He don't like it when anybody does it, because at the end of the day, we all the same. Amen. We're all in this together. I'm going to ask you, the next time you want to say something judgmental about somebody, the next time you want to judge them, I want you to do a few things. I want you to first realize that when you do that, you are opening the door up to Satan. Don't wonder how your life has become unmanageable. See, that's something we learn in Celebrate Recovery. We open so many doors to the devil, and then Diana, one day we wake up and our lives are no longer manageable. They're out of control. The next time you have the opportunity to play all God mighty judge, I'm going to ask you to do something very different. Just love that person. Just say, God, I don't know why they're doing this. God, they may not even know, but God, help them. God, help them. Save them from their own self. See, God's not here to judge you. God's saying, I love you. I gave my son up just for you. There is no judgment for you here. God loves you. God accepts you.
Yes,
God meets you exactly right where you at.
Yes,
the devil likes to say, well, you got to do this, this, and this before you can really be accepted.
Right.
You're accepted right now.
Amen.
There's not judgment for you. Let God love on you.
Amen.
Sometimes we reject God because we don't think that we're good enough to receive His glory, or good enough to receive His love and His mercy. See, the devil tries to talk you out of letting God love on you. God wants to just love on you.
Amen.
God loves you. Stop judging yourself. Let yourself off of that hook. It's okay to go on and be joyful. You don't got to look at that stuff in the background there. Amen. So you don't think God wants to meet some people right where they're at?
Right here.
We are the hands and feet of Jesus. If you won't hug somebody when they need a hug, may God have mercy on your soul. It's the little things. It's the little things in our lives. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. A lot of times we think it's just one big kit and caboodle. Nope. It's the little things. It's the little things like, that person there on the side of the road, their car broke down. Well, they deserve that. They didn't do something right, obviously. See, we become people that say something bad happened to somebody else because they did something. Stop thinking that every time something bad happens, it's because somebody did something wrong. You ever had a problem in your life that was so big and it was brought on by somebody else and you had nothing to do with it? Praise the Lord. People can go on and have problems, miss, that they didn't create. I'm asking us to really, truly be the hands and feet of Jesus. When we can get that down, I'm going to ask you to do something else. Have the heart that God has. You think God wants to judge people? There's coming a day where He will. He wants as many people to get into heaven as possibly can. Will you stand with me? Lord God, in Jesus' name, God all over the place today. God, I thank You for Your grace. God, I thank You that You gave us all grace and mercy. And God, right now, God, if you need to be, you know what, this may be something you have a hard time with. If you got a hard time with this, lift your hands up. Because let me tell you something. God's got enough grace. He said, man, I poured out My love. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I ask for You to fill us up with who You are. God, so when we see other people, God, go through things, Lord, we can pour it out of our own vessel, God. We can pour that love out. God, we can pour that compassion out. God, we can pour out that grace. God, because You poured it in us. And You said, now freely You have received, now freely give. And in Jesus' name, God, I thank You. God, that we walk away here and we don't want to be a judge anymore. God, we don't want to be judgmental anymore. God, we just want to love people. We want to be Your hands and feet, God, and we want to get people into Your kingdom. And God, I'm asking You right now that what we do not have, God, in the natural, maybe we're not patient, maybe we're not just a real loving person, but God, in Jesus' name, I ask right now, God, to make up the difference in each person right now, God, and give us what we need, God, to be Your hands and feet. In Jesus' name, amen.